The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning. I'm Jackie Ruddy. I'm in with Pat Devaney, my fellow realtor husband. How are you?
Very good. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful.
It's Cinco de Mayo.
Okay. Whatever. Is that your thing?
Yeah.
Because that's news to me.
Mexican food. Let's go.
All right. Well, Patrick will like it. Attorney Richard Finucci here for the second week in a row. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jackie. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me back. It's a
Anytime.
Pleasure.
Anytime. Pleasure is all ours. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been advising, assisting, and guiding clients in real estate matters for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have. You can send it to questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you go to jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners live webcam tab. We get at least 500 hits a day on that. It's amazing. And you can watch the construction of what's going on at the corners.
It's just going to be fun, fun times.
Fabulous.
Yes, fabulous. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com. That's mobile friendly. jruddy.com, jruddy.com. And remember to look us up on YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook.
You know, I think there's 7 years worth of shows on that archive radio.
Yes, it's hard to believe.
Everything is in there. Every topic, everything we've covered over the past years, you can just, it's all in there.
Yes, there's a lot of topics as it relates to real estate. Attorney Richard Finucci, how long have you been practicing law? Where do you practice it? What do you do?
Jackie, I've been an attorney for nearly 30 years now, and our office is located on Main Avenue in Blakely. And although we primarily work in Lackawanna County, we do service a 4 to 5 county area around us. We do a lot of real estate in Susquehanna, Wayne, Pike, and Luzerne.
What else?
Our practice is a general practice. We pretty much do it all.
If
we can't help you, we'll tell you where to go.
Okay, wonderful.
How to get it.
All right. So life is interesting for you, I know, right?
Yes.
And you're very busy. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
Our contact phone number is 570-383-0652. And you could always look us up on the web, FinucciColcharno.com.
And Colcharno is a C or a K?
That's a K.
All right. Very good. Now, zoning. That's our discussion today. We're going to talk about all things zoning. Fun. Your favorite topic, my least favorite. Well, one of my least favorite topics. Okay, zoning makes real estate, what I do, very, very interesting. Could be quite confusing for the consumer. Let's define it. Let's start with the definition and the purpose of zoning.
I think you're right, Jackie. It's very important to know exactly what zoning is because, you know, historically zoning has gotten pretty much a bad rap out there. And it's always been perceived as something very negative. Landowners traditionally hated it when zoning came about, you know, predominantly in the late 60s, early 70s. And it was an evil thing because people were saying, how could you tell me what I can and can't do with my land? Today, we look at it as a beneficial thing, and it's just part of life. You know, zoning is basically a power given by state legislature to a local government to say this is what you can or cannot do within your municipality or with your property. It's one of the local government's ways to ensure that the public health, safety, and general welfare is regulated regarding the uses of the land within its community. And you know, zoning is designed to protect communities and protect homeowners while allowing them to, you know, benefit the most from their use of their property.
Well, there's types of zoning. There's zoning classifications. There's permitted uses. There's non-conforming use. There's special exceptions. There's variances. So where do we start? Because it could be like I said before, very confusing for your average person who just wants to purchase a property.
Well, let's start with the fact that Pennsylvania law, the legislature, it wrote what's called the Pennsylvania Municipalities Planning Code, and that basically gave minimum standards to local governments to say, here's what you should have at a minimum in your zoning ordinances. But the rest is up to the local government. Pretty much in Northeast PA, every municipality in Lackawanna County has a zoning ordinance. When you get into the more rural counties like Susquehanna, you have a countywide zoning ordinance that applies to every municipality. But it starts with an ordinance. With the power given by the legislature, the local municipalities write their own zoning law, which is, you know, it's done by ordinance, and it's enforceable. And the basis to every ordinance, I mean, has different components. One, it addresses every single space of land in your municipality and puts it into a zone. And that's a specified boundary. It tells you what type of zones, the definition of zones, you know, from residential to commercial to industrial to agricultural. And then you have subcategories. You might have an R1, an R2, an R3, varying levels of residential developments, from very strict, pure single-family residential, which is known as an R1 usually, up to, say, an R3, which is more of a multifamily permitted or mixed with some light commercial. So every zoning ordinance is different, although every ordinance has its own common set of provisions.
Here's the problem with the R1s, the R2s, the R3s that I see is, you know, starting a community from scratch, it's easy to do that. And you have a specific area where you have your single family homes, and you have your specific area where you have multifamily homes. But 80 years ago, they didn't do things like that. They had the neighborhood grocery store. They had commercial mixed with residential. I mean, a lot of the areas in Dunmore, Scranton, I mean, like, what happens in those types of situations?
Well, you know, zoning was initially enacted to combat, you know, urban sprawl, urban blight. And there it was known that you had to come up with a set of rules and regulations to control it. So, you know, we in this area, I mean, we've had properties that have been around since the, you know, 1700s, the 1800s. And, you know, when zoning came about, once an ordinance was enacted, those properties were already there. So they're allowed to stay.
Grandfathered.
And remain, a.k.a. grandfathered
okay.
in.
All right.
Those are otherwise known in the zoning world as, you know, legally existing non-conforming uses. And non-conforming uses are allowed to remain in place. You know, with certain regulations applied to them.
Right. So you can only use them as certain.
You can continue the use as it existed prior to the enactment of the ordinance. But there are limitations on changing the use, expanding the use. These are things that you may have to go back to the municipal zoning board to get approval to do sometimes.
Okay. So, right. You can't really drastically change the use is what you're saying.
Not without permission from the zoning board. And
that's takes some doing, and it doesn't always go through.
Well, there's a process, and you know, every ordinance outlines the process that needs to be followed. So there are rules written into the zoning ordinance, and it speaks to, you know, the zones, the types of uses that are permitted within the zones, what the size of the structures, the distances from property lines, et cetera, et cetera. There are dimensional uses and use uses. So, you know, getting back to the deviation, you know, that's otherwise known as a variance. So if a person wanted to do something with a property that the zoning law said you can't do, the zoning officer would have to deny that use, and then it would have to go to the zoning board. The zoning board is the only legal entity that has any power or control to deviate from the terms of the ordinance. That's what a variance is known as.
So you go in and you plead your case. You tell them why you want to do what you want to do and why you can't, where you feel you can do. And you argue that, you know, the mix in the neighborhood should allow for that use. But you have maybe neighbors that may not want that.
Yes. And, you know, the key to zoning is that there are zoning is a very complex concept because, as I said, we're dealing with the written black and white letter of the law that's in the ordinance. But, you know, no zoning law is perfect. And there is a lot of case law that is out there that supplements current zoning standards and that aren't that isn't written in the municipality's planning code or isn't written in, you know, the local town ordinance. So, you know, case law and legal concepts supplement this, and it can get very, very murky, could get very combative.
And expensive.
And expensive. Absolutely. Yeah, for all involved. One of the things is notice, and there has to be notice given, you know, to adjoining property owners if someone is looking to do something with their property that they're seeking a deviation from the ordinance for, and that brings out sometimes the best or worst in communities. I've seen it firsthand.
Yes, I've been a part of that as well in some of the real estate transactions through my years of doing business, and I have been asked to go and to sit in on these types of planning commission hearings, and it gets heated.
Yes. You know, from a real estate standpoint, Jackie, it's very important for a purchaser when looking at a property. They obviously know what their intent is, what they want to do with the property. And if it's just a home, I'm looking to, you know, live in a home and you're in a pure residential section, honestly, these issues aren't issues. It's disclosed, you know, what zone it's in. And, you know, in the real estate contracts, as you're aware, there is always contingencies that a buyer can elect to do their due diligence to investigate zoning, to see what the laws are, and to see if they have an opportunity to do with the property what it is they intend to do with it. So these are all contingencies. So there's plenty of opportunity for a buyer to, you know, look into this and investigate before actually buying the property. Because, again, like we spoke about last week with deed restrictions, once you buy the property, you're stuck with it.
Well, there you go. But, you know, zoning sometimes seems to go over everybody's head, including sometimes realtors. And that zoning classification is important and is part of the agreement of sale, like you mentioned. And I've seen it actually work to the benefit of that purchaser when they're thinking that they're buying a two unit. They make it subject to that zoning classification, and the municipality, when they do their due diligence, turns around and says, no, maybe it's been used as a two-family for the last 40 years. Maybe it's set up as a two-family. Maybe it has two kitchens and two electrical panels, but no, we're not going to allow it to be anything but a single-family.
That's correct, given the type of zone that it's in. And how do we know, how does the buyer know that this property was legally transferred from a single family to a multifamily? This was a problem that happened over the years in the city of Scranton in particular, where, you know, and I'll say in particularly the Hill section, where you had these huge homes that were at one time, you know, very stately single family homes, which over the years, things got a little loose and enforcement was lax. And as a result, you had these properties being, I'll say, carved up and converted over into 3, 4, sometimes 5-unit homes, which by today's standard probably would never be allowed to happen. So you're left with sometimes some dangerous conditions. So it's important for a buyer to do their due diligence. I always say, get down to that zoning office, get down to that permit office and talk to the zoning officer. Tell them what you're looking to do and ask everything you can about the property.
And I found often that the permitted use is often tied to how many garbage bills are being paid.
Very true. Yes.
Sometimes that's the tell-all.
Yes.
How many garbage bills are being paid to whatever municipality that property is in.
Good point.
Okay, Attorney Richard Finucci, may I have your contact information, please?
Certainly, Jackie. Our website is FinucciColcharno.com, and that's Colcharno with the K. And we're located at 240 Main Street, Blakely, Pennsylvania, 383-0652.
Thank you. Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a beautiful three-bedroom, two-bath home at 1616 North Webster Avenue in Dunmore for only $159,000. This home's not going to last long. It has a beautiful entry foyer, crown molding, beautiful wood trim, granite countertops in the kitchen, two interior staircases, replacement windows, gas heat, gas fireplace, fenced-in yard, off-street parking. This home's got it all, and it's all on a 50 by 150 lot. That's a move-in condition home at 1616 North Webster Avenue in Dunmore for only $159,000. And who is this listed by?
$158,900.
Oh, my goodness. And how do you know that so well? Oh, that's your listing.
That's my listing.
Okay.
I have the year-to-date statistics for multifamily homes from the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors. Year-to-date, median list price is $99,900. That's up 5% from last year at this time. Median sales price is up 10% to $66,250. And sold listings of multifamily homes in the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors is up 6.9%. So the number of multifamily homes transferring is up 6.9%. And this is good information because the multifamily
that market took quite a beating.
Yes, so I'm hoping it's on the rebound and it's coming back. Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be back after a very brief break. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting, too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. We are back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ready, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
How are you doing today, Jackie?
Terrific. How are you?
I'm getting enlightened. Rick is a wealth of information.
Fabulous.
We've got questions that we want answered.
Zoning questions. We're talking about zoning today with attorney Richard Finucci. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for being here with us. An attorney for the last 30 years practicing out of Blakely, but you service 4 to 5 different areas, surrounding areas, counties, and you practice all types of law.
That's correct, Jack.
And one of your favorite topics and practices is the real estate law.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So zoning, first half of the show, we talked about what it is, the purpose of it, why it's needed. We touched on non-conforming use, and that's when a property is allowed to be used in a certain way despite the surrounding zoning classification.
Yes, Jackie. So a non-conforming use is a use or a structure. So it's not just a use, but it could be a lot size that is technically contrary to what the current zoning ordinance says for that particular zone. It's if the property had existed or the use had existed prior to the enactment of the zoning ordinance originally, that use is allowed to continue. That's what we know as being grandfathered in.
Okay. So say something happened with that structure and it wasn't being used in the way that it was supposed to be used. Say it's not being lived in or occupied in any way.
Well, the non-conforming use is allowed to continue as long as the use continues. If the use ceases, and this depends on the ordinance, but in most ordinances, it's a general rule that if the use terminates for a period of 1 year or more, that usually that use now is abandoned, and that the it's no longer deemed to be a non-conforming use. That, in other words, that the current zoning now prevails.
Okay. So say you have a foreclosure in the hill section of Scranton, and it was a 6-unit, and it's in a zoning classification of R1. What happens after that year?
That's an excellent example, because that is something that happens every day in our business. And technically, the city of Scranton would be able to go in, because I believe their zoning ordinance says that if a use is abandoned for a period of 1 year or more, that it now reverts to what the current zone is. A potential buyer coming down the road may have a problem continuing that, using that property as a 6-unit. You may have a serious issue. So, you know, what's the rule, general rule? Do your due diligence. As soon as you know what it is you're looking at buying, what is your intention, go to get right down to that zoning office and ask questions. Figure out what was the history of this property, what was it allowed for, what can I do with it?
Okay, so then you're back to essentially square one, and you go to the zoning office and they tell you, okay, well, it's a residential zone, so they can make you, if you wanted to purchase it, occupy it as a single family. Or would they allow you to do it as a 3-unit, maybe not a 6-unit? Or would they allow the 6-unit?
It depends. It's gonna be very fact sensitive, depending on where the property is, what condition it's in.
How many parking spots are available?
Oh, yeah, yes, parking spots are big in Scranton.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. It depends. That's a classic attorney response. No,
that's usually what we get when we ask what the mortgage. What's your mortgage rate this week? Well, it depends.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's enlightening. So, yes, do due diligence. That's where you come in. Have an attorney, and a reputable attorney that practices real estate law, that knows this type of stuff, and they can guide you legally. And that seems to be a little bit of a complicated process. There's a lot of people that think working at home is a great thing. Everybody seems to be aspiring to do that.
Oh, I have a home office, yeah. And they don't want to leave the house.
They don't want to leave their house.
They want to work in their pajamas.
Yes, why not? And is that permissible? Is that allowed in most zoning classifications?
There are always allowances in any zoning ordinance for what we know as home occupations. And these don't really address the person who, you know, took the afternoon off and went home with their laptop and decides to sit on their couch and, you know, just start responding to emails. This is where people are actually having a place of business within their home. And usually, well, every ordinance always defines what home occupations are, but for the most part, they're not intrusive types of uses. You know, you might have a single person accounting office, maybe a single person a beauty salon in the basement. You know, these are your atypical home occupation types of uses. Things where you don't have a lot of heavy traffic, you know, coming in and out. And I think the key is with any home occupation in any zoning ordinance is that it doesn't take away from the integrity of the neighborhood, that it's not an intrusion on the neighborhood.
So check with the zoning office first before you decide to carve out that area in your home.
Yeah, and there are certain other regulations, for example, that the person who's doing the home occupation has to reside there. You probably can't have any more than X amount of employees, usually one or two. You can't have any more cars than maybe one or two extra that's allowed. So there are always conditions and regulations, but they're allowed.
Okay, because there's always that one neighbor who notices everything that everybody does on the block, and they would be the first one to make waves.
Correct.
All right. Yeah. So check that out before, especially if you have people coming and going from the business. Check that out to make sure it's permissible.
Yes, always.
Okay. A question I have is, what is the role of the zoning board and the zoning officer?
That's a great question, Jackie. Let's start with the zoning officer, because the municipality's planning code, which is, you know, Pennsylvania law, directs that there, you know, if you have a zoning ordinance, there has to be a zoning officer, and it allows also for the creation of thereafter a zoning hearing board. So the zoning officer is the person who does the day-to-day management of the municipality zoning issues. He's the, or she is the person that issues the permits, that goes out and inspects property, that says you can or cannot do this. They are the person who also does enforcement usually. If there's a violation, you're going to call the zoning officer to come up. And the zoning officer has, you know, he's like almost like a law enforcement officer in the sense that he is the, or she has the power to enforce the provisions of the ordinance and actually cite people before a magistrate, you know, bring legal action, bring an enforcement action. So the zoning officer, I say, is a very difficult job and often is the most hated, love-hated role in the municipality, but very, very important in any town.
Well, I have to say my dealings with Dunmore and Scranton, they're accessible, and I'm so thrilled about that, because I hear horror stories of other areas where you can't reach these people, and it's important to be able to have someone to call, a contact, and see that knows what can and can't be done, because we come across some very interesting things from time to time. So you have a zoning officer, so they're the enforcement of the zoning in that municipality. So then what about zoning hearings and zoning boards? What's their function, please?
Well, the zoning officers can never deviate from the terms of the ordinance. They are the black and white people that if it says you could do this, then they have to give you a permit. If it says you can't do this, they can't even make their own interpretation. They have to say, I don't have the authority to do that. I have to deny it. And then that's where it goes to the zoning hearing board. Now, the zoning hearing board is also created by the ordinance, and that's usually a 3 to 5 member body. The zoning hearing board has to be independent. They can't be any other elected officials within the municipality. They are what we call quasi-judicial in the sense that they sit as determiners of the ordinance, interpreters of the ordinance, and yet they are acting more like a court. So like they're the court of the zoning. So that's why they're quasi-judicial. And they're supposed to be fair and impartial, but it is the zoning hearing board is the only entity that has authority to deviate from the literal terms of the ordinance. So the zoning hearing board is a very important board in any town, because they are the overseers and regulators, ultimately, of the ordinance.
So that's who you go to. You have a hearing, per se, before this board if you want to make a change.
Correct.
Do something different.
Yes, correct. The zoning hearing board has multi-functions. One, they hear appeals of decisions from the zoning officer. They are the sole body to hear a request for variances, which we said earlier is deviations from the literal terms of the ordinance. And they have other rules. They are the, if there's a matter of an interpretation question on an ordinance or a conflict, it's the zoning hearing board usually that will hear that. They also hear what we know as special exceptions. Special exceptions are uses that are contemplated to be allowed in a particular zone, like a principal permitted use. However, as a special exception, it's a way for the zoning board to say, let's take a second look at it before we give you an approval. And if we feel appropriate, we're going to impose reasonable safeguards and conditions along with our approval. So it's allowed, but you need special approval to, you know, after they look at it.
Got it. Okay. We had a fascinating discussion 2 weeks in a row with attorney Richard Finucci. May I have your contact info?
Thank you. My address is 240 Main Street in Blakely. My website is Finucci Colcharno, KOLCHARNO.com. Phone number 570-383-0652.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Pat?
We have a beautiful 5-bedroom, 2-bath home with a brand new garage at 500 Fifth Street in Dunmore for only $229,000. This home has beautiful hardwood floors and woodwork, ductless air conditioning, an updated kitchen, a gas fireplace, a new boiler, plenty of off-street parking, a nice yard, and that brand new 2-car garage that I love so much with the big, beautiful concrete driveway. I think I need more garages. I grew up in Brooklyn. They say I had garage envy when I was growing up. So
you do not need another garage.
It also has a stucco exterior, a covered front and rear porch, and it's just waiting for a new owner. That's an updated five-bedroom, two-bath home at 500 Fifth Street in Dunmore for $229,000. And that's listed by Karen Kashuba of our office.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate, and 94.3 FM The Talker.